LLC. Yeah, there it is. When that robot voice comes in, you know it's time to begin. And wherever you are, whenever you are, and however you happen to be listening, we're so glad you've chosen to tune in to
ELC.
Especially if you're one of our geeks and sneaks, using this podcast to power you through a workout or a run. Or hey, maybe you're getting that holiday shopping in. Maybe you're going from store to store, using us to keep you company in your car as you're bundled up in the cold, cold weather. Well, we're going to be in your ear holes for 90 plus minutes of gaming goodness, because DLC is your downloadable commentary for the week, delivered the way we love it to be. And that is completely free, thanks to our patrons at patreon.com/DLCpod. They bring the show to you. Their generosity, their support, their goodwill means we get to make these shows for you. And boy, are we grateful. In exchange, they get some cool perks, including ad-free versions of the show, video versions of the show on demand, and a whole bunch of bonus content. Ladies and gentlemen, you got your Alan Wake 2 spoiler cast last week. That was first to patrons. You've got your Feeling This, two seasons of Feeling This with Alex Solman joining Christian Spicer to talk about the feelings behind video games. That's all for patrons only. And you got your Wednesday bonus program with Lana Bashinsky joining Christian Spicer and myself, talking about all sorts of cool stuff, a back and forth between patrons. It's great. It's all available for you at patreon.com/DLCpod. But this show, the main show, DLC, it's the show all about games. And there are many forms. Games played on desktops, laptops, and consoles. Also games that involve dice, luck, and cardboard. I'm your host, Jeff Cannata, that's spelled with two N's and one T. And I am joined, as always, by my friend, slash co-host, slash nemesis. The guy whose jingles are always belling. I don't know. I did nothing this week. Mr. Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
I told you not to tell anybody that. That was a personal issue. It's resolved, by the way. But thank you for putting that out there. It's.
I could have said bells are always jingling, which would have actually made sense, but I didn't.
It was 48 hours of bed rest. But it got better. And yeah,
mm-hmm. Lots of water too.
And put some Tussin on it, I think, fixes
hey,
everything,
folks,
right?
We got a show for you. We got a great show for you. We got so much to discuss. We got some cool games to talk about. We're motoring to the end of the year with so much coming to a head. Oh my gosh, it's exciting. And we have an awesome guest for you. You know the DLC always stands for your downloadable Cannata and your downloadable Christian. But this week, I am so excited because once again, DLC stands for Declaring a Lifelong Commitment. Because from Married to the Game, we have hype man, voiceover artist, and podcaster, our friend Gabe Patillo is back with us. Hey, Gabe!
Woo woo! Oh, man. Thanks for having me. So happy to be back. Christian, it's so nice to finally meet you. You weren't here last time. And so, yeah, man, glad to be back with you fellas talking. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was unfortunate last time Christian's jingles were belling and he couldn't be here.
Yeah, trust. Again, really trying not to talk about that, but
keeps coming up. I apologize.
Yeah. Your wife was a good help, though, when I called for advice. You really helped me out with that one, Jeff.
Ouch.
So thank you.
Jeez Louise.
And jeez Louise is right.
Are we here to talk about video games? Nothing's happened this week. It's just insults. All this week, we're doing the hot takes insult show.
That's right. Putting everybody's health business out there.
All right. We'll get right into it. Let's start the show the way we always do with Story of the Week.
Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week. Story of the Week. It's the Story of the Week.
Story of the Week is the part of the show where we make our case for the most important stories that happen in the world of games this week. You can always submit stories for our consideration by sending us an email to dlcfeedback@gmail.com. You can also send any kind of correspondence you'd like, anything you'd want us to know. That's where you can reach us. We love getting your emails, dlcfeedback@gmail.com. You can also become part of our community by hanging out in our Discord with lots of other cool folks. And us. It's fun. The Discord is 5x5 DLC on Discord. I urge you to take part. But Gabe, you are our guest, so you get first pick of stories. What would you consider to be your story of the week?
Man, this was a little weird because I don't like these things and I don't actually love diving into them. But we have to talk about it because it's going to be one of the biggest games on the planet. But that old Rockstar been a little leaky as of lately.
Yeah.
That boat needs some pitch on it to fill up some of them holes. So it turns out, or maybe not, that like an employee of Rockstar's son like was taking all kind of
he's out, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You have to go. I'm so sorry to tell you, you have to go live with another family. How much your bells have been jingling around here.
That's right.
You have to go live with somebody else. Me and your mom have made the tough decision that it was your fault, actually. And so we need to go live with somebody else.
I like my job, son. So yeah, goodbye.
Exactly. So we have this like weird, like grainy video that kind of hit the internet of like somebody screen capturing something. But then today, weirdly enough, I'm on Twitter and, you know, doing the, or X. Sorry.
No, you don't have to.
Old habits die hard. I'm an old man.
He even called it Twitter. You don't need to call it. He was on stage in front of everybody. He's calling it Twitter.
He calling it Twitter still?
Yeah, he called it Twitter. Anyway, good. Sorry.
I don't feel as bad. Today, a full like minute trailer dropped. And I was like, why? How does this happen? Like the 2 days before it's supposed to officially drop on December 5th, which we're all excited about to see what's going on. A trailer drops today with full voiceover. It's like a conversation between this man and woman. Wow. She's asking him what he likes about something. I only watched it like twice. I might've watched it three times. It shows like Vice City Beach. It shows people running. It shows all this stuff. And it got me so excited. I'm actually not even a GTA guy.
Yeah.
But what excites me about GTA is the behemoth that it is, and that almost everybody has to take note of Grand Theft Auto, even if you're outside of gaming. And then Grand Theft Auto is also that video game you point to when people say games are for kids.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? When you start making your case for how much money games make, you know, I feel like GTA is always the thing that's easy to point to with how, you know, they made what, $1 billion when 5 came out.
Yeah.
On the first 4 days. And so it's just kind of like, it frustrated me a little bit for Rockstar. It made me a little sad. But at the same time, again, I watched the trailer a couple times just to like see what was going on. And it just seems like such an impressive thing they're building. And it's just such a bummer that it would leak online days before it's supposed to officially happen.
And especially after they had that whole brouhaha, last year, 2 years ago? I don't even remember. Time is a flat circle. But when the some of the source code was stolen and they had a lot of people were analyzing what GTA 6 was, and it was old stuff, but it was, you know, people were throwing that up online. So you'd think they would be locked down like never before.
Yeah,
in the wake of that.
That's what I would think. And when that came out, that stuff was hilarious a couple years ago. And it was like really, really alpha. And there was still like blocks that would be buildings and cars and stuff like that. And but this looks, I'm interested to see how legit this is, because that's the other thing about the internet, right? Like people pull off amazing things that you think are real and then aren't real at all. And so if this same trailer drops 2 days from now with the voiceover and the Vice City Beach and everything like that, because I don't know that, did we know it was Vice City? Did we see the colors?
No, we don't know anything.
Figured it was Vice City. And so even if it's Vice City, that would be something to know before they told us. And so I guess only time will tell. We won't have to wait that long, but we'll see.
I have not seen this. I have not seen any of the leaked or purportedly leaked stuff.
Says the guy who probably leaked it. That's a classic.
Yeah.
I'm the leaker thing.
Don't tell my dad. Don't tell my dad.
I forgot your dad worked at Rockstar.
My dad is Bill Rockstar.
Yes.
I do want to tell the folks listening, all of our audience, that the plan right now, because as you know, the DLC podcast curse is that big news happens right after our episodes come out.
Oh yeah, that's exactly that happens to us too.
Rockstar has confirmed that the actual real bona fide trailer will be coming on the 5th, as Gabe mentioned, and Christian and I are going to do a special bonus recording talking about that, because this is also the week of the Game Awards. So I think it's going to get, you know, by the time we get to next Monday, it's going to be old news. So we're going to do a special bonus content episode that's going to be exclusive to patrons for a short period of time, where Christian and I are going to give our reactions to the actual trailer when it drops. And I'm very excited about it, but it is wild to me that these leaks have continued to happen in this era of, you know, everybody being conscious of that. And in the, like I said, in the wake of GTA 6 already being victim of, you know, massive early spoilery kind of leaks. Gabe, is there something, you said you're not a GTA guy. I'm not really either. I'm also very curious about it and kind of excited to see what the next thing is, because it's such a gargantuan installment. Mm-hmm. But is there something, you mentioned being excited potentially about Vice City, but is there something that they could show in the trailer, in the real trailer, that would get you really amped, really invested in this game's release?
E for everyone. No, I'm just kidding.
that would be the ultimate unexpected thing. That would be wild. What a great answer. Yeah. That's so funny.
You know, what's interesting is that, like, obviously I'm kidding, but like, one of the reasons I don't play GTA is because I have kids. And when GTA 5 came out, I remember being like, okay, it's my first time diving back into a GTA. I hadn't played GTA since it was top down. Way back in the day. Again, I'm old. And I remember getting GTA 5 because it was that first weekend. The hype train was like just so real. And I don't know if you guys are like me, but like, I love being a part of the thing as it's happening. Sure, there's a bunch of games that I play late and get to, and I'm finally like, oh yeah, this game is awesome. But my heart is to be involved in that wave that's happening when something comes out. And so I pop in GTA 5. And at the time, we were living in a house where my console was in our bonus room, but our bonus room didn't have a door. It was just like the top of the stairs, and then you kind of just looked over and there's the couch and just the area. Jack, I couldn't play that game for 5 minutes in my house. I was like, this is crazy. I was like, I need to find a building somewhere that I could lock the deadbolt, then put the door, the chair up against the doorknob. Just because GTA, while it looks amazing, while I hear the story is incredible, you accidentally stumble into some really ratchet stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing like some side missions just to get my like feet wet in the world. And I was like, oh, wow, 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 wow. And so it kind of got me off GTA. And I was like, well, I guess this was not for me in my house. But that's all right. You know, there's going to be plenty of 10-year-olds buying it with their parents at GameStop. I'll leave it for them. But so there's probably nothing they could show that makes me want to jump into it. But it's like, it's just like, you know, Gamefly or something like that. You're like, should I just rent it for a weekend and just see what the thing is all about? Because it's just so exciting when something this big is happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And they have all the money, you know? I keep thinking, you know, this game is going to be what happens when you make a game where money is no object, right? You can put as much money into the creation of this game as you want, and you're still going to make a profit.
It's the Marvel version of video games. Avatar, where you're like, we needed a second one. It was like, yeah, but look all this tech we got. It's like, but then we did a second one. You see the water on the hand? You see how good that looks?
Like, right. Whatever. Yeah, it's bottomless pockets. And so that it feels like in 2024, what does a game look like when it doesn't matter how much you spend on it? That's when I want to be dazzled, you know, by just the pure technology of it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will be the case. But Christian Spicer, I'm curious your answer to that, and also the sort of your take on the massive leaks, as Gabe pointed out, that, you know, we need some, this boat needs some repairs.
Yes. If those rumors are true, and it is an employee's child, I feel for that family. It's easy to joke about. That's unfortunate. The rumor I heard is that it was like a kid who showed his friend, and his friend is the one who posted it. And it kind of
tracks, right? It makes sense. That's the kind of way this thing would happen. Is a kid just wants some cred with his buddies. You know, he just wants to show off. My dad is so cool. He works at this. Look what he's got. Look what I can have before Absolutely. Anybody else. You know, totally tracks to me.
It's the entertainment industry equivalent of if you send someone or your partner a picture of you undressed, you have to assume your partner's going to show that to someone else later. And the right. same thing is true.
Really? That's what you assumed?
Oh, Gabe.
Dang it.
I've seen all of yours, by the way. I don't know when I got them. I think it was like when you were on with Khalif and he sent them to me and it was a whole thing. Yeah. But
the internet. Show anybody.
I'll be honest. That's what caused Christian's Jingles Balls condition.
Well, speaking of leaks, you know, I tried to keep a personal medical condition on lockdown myself, Jeff. Right. But sometimes right. yeah. people
sometimes
just
you
have
just say it on
flabby
a podcast.
Mouth. Yeah, you just blab blab blab. And I really do feel for them if that is true, because while this studio Rockstar has all the money and they make these games that make all the money, and they've suffered through these leaks, this is a terrible experience, I'd have to imagine. And that sucks. Like, I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. That is awful, unless it was like a malicious thing and we find out this dad is an abusive parent and the kid was acting, whatever. None of that, right? That's all wow. just wild speculation. That's not likely what happened. And this is just a super unfortunate incident, and have it all come back to them like that. That is terrible, especially this close to their reveal. The other type of leak of like the trailer that's alleged, the alleged trailer that's circulating now, I don't know how things don't get leaked, I think is more my perspective.
Oh,
now,
interesting.
Everything requires an upload. You know, it goes somewhere. It's not renting a satellite and live broadcasting this type of thing, you know? And so again, virtual hat off to Jeff Keighley and the crew, because of all the things that get leaked, the Game Awards, he does a pretty good job keeping a lot of that stuff locked down. He's had a few, like I think Last of Us remaster was maybe going to be a Game Awards announced. They had a leak before with some stuff. But like for the most part, he has real world exclusives. And you think about how many hands those things need to go through to debut on YouTube or something like that, or wherever it's going to be. I'm shocked. I am shocked that more things don't get leaked.
I have a question for you. Do you think that
my bells are fine, thank you.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was number one. Okay, good, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Number two is a two-part question. Do you think the Game Awards is a strong and mighty team that kind of like believe in the thing, and that's why that's able to stay locked up? And then two, do we think more and more leaks are happening because more and more people are working from home? It's not like we have the lockdown of, hey, come look at this trailer, come over to my desk and let's talk about this. Now it's got to be an upload to a server. Then you've got to download it at your house. And so it gives that opportunity to have it seen and uploaded and downloaded multiple times, like you're saying, Christian. It seems like, I wonder if like the work from home thing would make that a way more difficult problem.
Yeah, that's, I think it's a great question. I mean, I think Keighley just has bodies in his basement, and you try to leak on Keighley, you get one leak and then you're done.
Exactly. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then I wonder how much it is. This is old man talk, but everybody has phones, even very young. It's just so easy to share. If your dad has it, your mom has something on their phone to send it to you, to get it to you somehow, to share all this stuff. Like I said, I'm just shocked. But Jeff, I'm curious your thoughts on like the big leak. And, you know, are you on why do things get leaked, or, you know, how things can be kept secret? And it, I mean, Apple has leaks now.
It's a hard thing. The more hands and eyeballs that it has to pass through on its way from, you know, its origin point to its destination, just it feels like it's inevitable, it seems, that some of this. And I love the way you framed it, Gabe, in that people that are part of the team tend not to want to leak, right? If you're right. on team, let's do this, you know, then yes. like if you feel like the Game Awards is awesome, what you're excited about is the success of that moment on the Game Awards, right? So you're not incentivized to leak. If you're working for Rockstar and you want to have the big moment that, you know, crescendos and everybody got all eyeballs here, you're not incentivized. What the guy who's incentivized is the kid who's like, I bet my friends will like me 12% more if they, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just hard. It's a very difficult process, I'm sure, in any kind of media to try to keep this stuff, especially this stuff that's of a scale like GTA. There are very few things that are the scale of a GTA announcement. So that's just got to be level of difficulty has got to be really high in kind of trying to keep the lid on stuff like that. And man, I can't even imagine what it must have been like, especially since they had that awful leak earlier for this game that right before this announcement trailer was going to hit. But also, I will say, the announcement of the announcement, the preview little blurb they did that said December 5th, we will give you the grand reveal, that had 44 million views in 24 hours. It's one of those, it wasn't anything.
It's one of those things where, like, we have trailers for trailers now. Like, that's wild. Like,
44 million views of a text that said, tune in on the 5th, you know? So I don't honestly, as much as it truly does suck for the people that have, you know, been toiling away for years and they're having their big coming out party for this thing. That sucks. But also it's not going to hurt the game any, you know what I mean?
And absolutely.
It's not
going to hurt
the actual review. Like, no one's going to not watch the real one because they saw this fake one. It's a bummer, but in the grand scheme of things, no one's going to remember that when we're all talking next week about the trailer.
There's going to be a couple thousand people that said, I saw this already.
Right.
But a couple thousand is a decimal point when you talk about the millions of people that end up watching it.
It's a rounding error. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. One of my friends works at this, works at a ginormous company, and they were talking about how they bring in food every day for the whole staff. And they were like, man, we were thinking about how much money we spend on this, and it's a rounding error. Like, that's how small of a percentage it is. They're like, we're just going to keep bringing food for everybody. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen with GTA 6. It's going to be me and a couple other people like, oh, yeah, this was what it was.
I saw that part, yeah.
And still watch it.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Still watch it again.
Well, again, I'll reiterate that Christian and I are going to be doing bonus content. If you want to hear us talking about that, head over to patreon.com/DLCpod. Become a patron. It'll be available for patrons at any level right away. And we'll give you our take on what it is. And we can all be part of
the
combo.
So here's the question. Will you watch this one to see if it's the same as the one you see on the 5th? Or you just wait till the 5th?
I'm going to wait till the 5th and maybe watch this one after that. I kind of want to, I want to be, you know, fresh. I want to see it.
Yeah. So that means you believe this one's real.
I do believe it's real. Yeah. Ooh, I do believe it's real. Yeah.
Christian, you too, you'll wait or you'll watch this one?
If it ends up in front of my face, I will watch it, Gabe. I'm not going to seek it out. But if it, you know, like, I'm not going to not. If you send it to me right now.
Fall on the ground and my phone hits me and I just hits the right number. Yeah, right.
You know, I'm not going to not.
It's in the notes. I'm just saying it's in the notes.
There's a link. There's a link.
I haven't seen that. I show up to this show unprepared. I know we do this wonderful show, Doc, with all these notes. I sit down, put on my mustache, and hit record. That's all.
It really is wonderful.
None of that's lost on anybody, Christian. We all.
All
right. Speaking of which, what is your story of the week?
My story of the week was something else that you kind of got to watch and kind of got to play. And as you know, like, the Game Awards is looming with these other big announcements, I think this could stand to be the biggest announcement of this week, even bigger, dear friends, than the GTA 6 or whatever they call it, GTA trailer. I think this could be massive for the industry and where it goes. And I'm talking about Fortnite's Big Bang event and what Epic has set up now in Fortnite. And so at the end of season, the end of events, they have these big, sometimes you just watch it, sometimes you air quote play it, other times there's more involved play elements in it. And the end of this one, the Big Bang event, introduced concepts that Epic had talked about were going to be their own games or experiences, and also showing off long planted and acquired studios putting their talents to use in a way that people had speculated for a good while now, but we hadn't really, really seen. So at the end of this also Fortnite has just put up massive numbers again. I mean, it never really died down, but just this past season has just been massive. And so at the end of this Big Bang event, you were kind of flying around the island and you kind of do all these things. And of them were Lego Fortnite, which we had, they talked about that partnership. I think maybe it was this year. I forget when it was announced, but they had announced this crossover. But we got to see a little bit of it, and it looks stunning, absolutely stunning, especially on PC with ray tracing. And it's, you know, the buildings are built out of bricks, which is really cool, because Fortnite already has such great destructibility, and to not have it be Lego bricks and Lego people and the characters transform into Lego minifig versions of themselves. I mean, a lot of the modern Lego games look really good. But this also looked stunning, and we're getting this Lego Fortnite survival crafting game coming out on the 7th. So by the time you're listening to this, it might already be out. So that was one. And then as it continued, you got into more Rocket League looking cars than kind of the current cars in the game, but kind of like a mix of the two. And there's a racing segment happening. And I think that had been hinted at and alluded to for a while. They own Psyonix, the developers behind Rocket League, and the driving in the game has become more interesting. There's gas and boosts and upgrades and jumps and stuff like that. But now there's straight up a racing game, Rocket Racing. It debuts December 8th, the day after the Lego one debuts.
Golly.
And jeez, then at the end of that, the end of all that, so there's already two pretty huge announcements of things coming to Fortnite. The capital F Fortnite, the royal Fortnite, the rapper that is Fortnite. It ends with this musical festival, which they've done before in various forms to massive audiences. And it's Eminem, and he appears and then transforms, and this whole thing happens. But then they talk about, what do they call it? It is called, I thought I had it written down as I was reading about it, Fortnite Festival. And it is what Harmonix has been working on, where you're interacting a la Rock Band with the notes on screen again, but in Fortnite. And they've announced that that is launching 7th, 8th. Oh, that's right. December 9th.
Golly.
And it's going to be with The Weeknd being the icon. And they say it's going to have all this licensed music from stuff that you know and love. They've already had tons of licensed music in the game. And it, what blows my mind about all this is that these are all games or experiences, however you want to call them, in Fortnite. So not that you need to load, you go into a battle royale and then you find a part of the island and there's The Weeknd performing and then you do a little, you know, Rock Band mini game. It's not that. It's kind of like how you select the creator experiences, I'm assuming, where they have these other little modes or games that you can play, but it's all part of Fortnite. To get there, you have to launch Fortnite and see all the Fortnite things, and then you select that the way you would select 1v1 or not 1v1, you know, singles, doubles, whatever you want to do. And that, I think, is huge. So two last things, and I'll shut up here for a bit, but like, one, seeing the fruits of Harmonix and Psyonix coming ripe, I guess, and what these games might be within Fortnite, and then also Lego, but also the way that it is built within Fortnite and what that says for Fortnite as a property going forward. I think Epic sees that they still have, you know, the Godzilla game, and I don't think they're going to let up. And I think it's huge for what Fortnite as a thing will be and continues to be. And I think this could be massive for years to come about what Fortnite in and of itself is, that when us olds talk about it, we're not talking about it at the same level as what kids view Fortnite as. Oh, Fortnite, I love that game. And they're talking about something totally different than the way that they experience it.
I was traveling this weekend to see family, and was hanging out with my brother-in-law's sort of daughters is the wrong thing. Anyway, these two twin girls that are, I want to say 14, 15 years old. And we were talking about video games. Oh, you talk about video games for a living? Yeah. Well, oh, what video games do you play? And they both said Fortnite. That's the only video game they play. Super excited about it. And they do all kinds of different kinds of things in Fortnite. And, you know, it's wild to me that it was all the way back in 2021 that Epic acquired Harmonix, because it doesn't feel like it's been 2 years. But it was November of 2021 that Epic Games acquired Harmonix. And back then, we speculated about this very thing, Christian. And here it is coming to pass that, like, oh, maybe they'll make like a Rock Band kind of thing inside Fortnite. And it has happened. Gabe, what do you think of the Everything app being Fortnite?
I was like, I don't even know what Fortnite is anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. It's everything.
I'm one of those guys. Unfortunately, remember I was talking about liking being part of the thing? That's barring Fortnite. So I think I've played it twice in my whole life. But being a bystander and watching what they've done with licensing characters, with the dancing, with the music, with Marshmello, and all these events, having us stare at a black screen with like a little star in the middle of it for 2 days. You know, I just think everything they do is so incredibly thought out. It's done in such excellence. It seems like they rarely swing and miss. And it seems like if they do miss, then they adjust and they're able to, like, somehow they're not the Titanic. Like, it feels like usually when you're that big of a thing, you're not able to be nimble, but it seems like they are in certain instances able to be nimble. And I think it's just so incredible and a testament to the people that work over there. When I saw the Lego thing, I was like, okay, number one, that's adorable. Number two, that's amazing. Number three, what, Lego? Like, that's amazing. And then you see the Rocket League thing and you're like, maybe there's a lot of driving in the game I don't know about. And then you see the rhythm game thing and you're like, okay, hold on. Like, I thought we were still like building things and shooting each other. Yeah. And so I'm just so impressed because it kind of does take on that thing of, you know, Elon's talked about X being the end all be all and do everything there, right? Pay for things there and sell things there and whatever his dream is for what that is. And it feels like Fortnite is doing that. Like, they are the, it's just like you said, Christian, like, we're going to all talk about Fortnite in such different ways that we're going to have to then further explain what we mean by we like that game.
I love Fortnite. What are you playing at? Wordle. Oh, okay.
You know, the funniest thing about that to me is that when Fortnite debuted, it was a game about building forts and getting through the night. Like, that was the game.
It wasn't the Battle Royale.
The title like legitimately described the game. You had to build forts and then monsters would come at night and you tried to survive the night. It was Fortnite. And it's like, the name is just an abstraction now. It means there's no bearing on what you actually do in the game, which is everything. And I think this is cool. And I'm not a Fortnite player, but I think just sort of in the abstract, it's kind of neat that they keep pushing the envelope and pushing the game to do new different kinds of things.
Beyond that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Fortnite free?
Yeah.
And I know that there's a bunch of stuff you can buy within Fortnite, but like this definitely will have, I love rhythm games, love them. I don't play them as much as I'd like, but I love a good rhythm game. And so, like, I'll definitely jump in to try the rhythm aspect of Fortnite. Like, I don't know what all it's behind or, you know, if I'm going to have to play XYZ to get to whatever it is. But, like, I'm going to be playing a rhythm game in Fortnite just doesn't make any sense. It's just crazy to me.
I think that's what's incredible about it is I don't think you have to, like, survive four rounds. You know, I think it's just even calling it a mode seems like a disservice. It is a game you select from within the wrapper that is Fortnite. And I think that is interesting from a business perspective as well, because we've seen a lot of some leaked and some admitted documents about Epic Game Store not doing well and not being profitable. And these aren't other things to get you in the Epic Game Store wrapper per se. Yes, if you play on PC, you need to have the Epic Game Store to get Fortnite. But then once you do that, you have your desktop and you launch into Fortnite pretty much directly. And so these aren't standalone experiences that are other games that are free on the Epic Game Store to get people to use that ecosystem. And again,
Fortnite is the front end.
is the front end. It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's wild.
Like it's about to be its own library of games. Like you know what I'm saying? Like you launch Fortnite and then you launch all these other things that you want to do. That's crazy.
The other thing that occurs to me in this story is there a better positioned brand on the planet than Lego? I think everyone wants to be associated with Lego. Like there isn't a single property that would say no to Lego. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
Lego, everybody wants Lego. Star Wars wants Lego. Everybody wants to be associated with Lego. It's got to be one of the most potent brands on Earth, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, the only other thing that would surpass it is if like when they started doing Mario and Lego a couple Christmases ago, I was like, there it is.
Yeah.
Like, you know, nobody's mad at Mario. Nobody's mad at Lego.
Right.
You know, they're like these two things that just kind of like, as we saw with the movie and how amazing it did, you're like, oh, I guess people do enjoy this. And so, yeah, I mean, and it tells its own story. You know, Lego is one of those things that needs no introduction.
Yeah.
And like right when from children, they're like, oh, I get how this is supposed to work. And so when you bring that into something that's already massive, it's like, yeah, it belongs here. It should be here.
I was watching Thursday Night Football this weekend. I was traveling to my in-laws' house. We were watching Thursday Night Football and a Lego ad came on that was specifically geared toward adults. And it literally, the catchphrase at the end was adults welcome. And it was like a bunch of grown-ups building, you know, cars and motorcycles and, you know, Technic, like advanced Legos. And it's like, I love that they're embracing that and going, hey, this is for everyone. Anyway, I am a fan of Lego and I think it's cool.
Yeah, anyway, I picture that phone call being like, you know, the few times when you call someone and they answer before it even rings. I feel like that was Fortnite and Lego calling each other at the same time. Because if you're like, no other brand is like that. There is one other brand. It's Fortnite. That's the other brand. And they're both like, hello?
I was thinking about
hello?
You. Were you thinking about me? I was thinking about you. Were you thinking about me? All right. Well, you guys have left me a number of excellent stories here. I think the one that I'm most interested in, frankly, is the Fallout TV series that we know has been in the works from Amazon Prime Streaming got its first images and trailer this week. Vanity Fair did a spread on the show and showed a bunch of images that I think were met with some skepticism because, you know, static images being as they are, a lot of folks were kind of criticizing it as like bad Fallout cosplay.
Sure.
They showed, you know, the power suits and people in you know, the Fallout vault gear, the vault jumpsuits and stuff. But the trailer came out and I got a chance to check out the trailer. I don't know if either of you guys did, but it's I think that the show looks pretty good. It's certainly got a killer cast. And including an actor that just means the show is going to be good because he's only in good shows, and that's Walton Goggins. If Walton Goggins is in it, it's going to be amazing. The dude just is in the best The Shield, Justified, Righteous Gemstones. It goes on and on and on. Like, he's just money in the bank. But it also has Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks.
Oh,
has,
wow.
Ella Purnell from Yellow Jackets. Looks like she's the lead. Lots of really, really cool actors and really leaning into very recognizable stuff from the shows. The trailer starts inside a vault. The vault opens and we have that very iconic Bethesda Games walking out from the vault and seeing the big expansive world beyond it moment, even in the TV show. You know, Todd Howard is directly involved. The trailer literally says, from the mind that brought you Westworld, meaning showrunner Jonathan Nolan, and one of the world's greatest game designers, Todd Howard. It's like, oh, wow. double billing right there. It's going to be here in April of 2024. April 12th is when it debuts. I'm curious what you think of it, Gabe. Are you excited for a Fallout TV series?
Okay. So I'm going to let you down a little bit.
Uh-oh.
But I'm still going to talk about it. Never played a Fallout.
Oh, okay.
Ever in my life.
They're good.
So I'll say this. video games to screen. As gamers, we have a weird relationship with that, right? It's gone bad so many times.
Yeah.
And then it's gone really good a couple of times.
But more recently, it's gone more good, you know? I think
kind of, right? So we've got The Last of Us on HBO, right, which was like incredible. But then we had like Halo, which I don't know how that landed with people, but it didn't seem like great.
Not great, yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And so this does like look amazing. I love Michael, what's his name? Michael something. He was the bad guy from Lost. He was
Interest.
I think his last name starts with an R. I just can't remember what it is. But and so the question always to me is, will people love it that didn't play the game? And I think that's something that Last of Us hit well on, right? It was like, you didn't have to know anything about it. I remember telling people it was a video game. They had no idea. And so there's always that lens of, do we love it because we love the game, or do we love it because it actually looks good and something we'd want to participate in? Kind of like, what's that new one coming out? That's going to be a movie, and Red Moon. That's going to be like the 2-part thing on Netflix, and they're releasing the game. And,
the new
and,
Zack Snyder thing.
He came out at like the Summer Games Fest. And so, you know, that's where I'm kind of sitting back and waiting. I'm like, okay, I have a weird relationship. So I'm like a little like hesitant to just jump in and be like, that's going to be awesome. Because we also had like Twisted Metal. Remember that? I don't know if anybody remembers
it. I didn't watch it, but I heard people say it wasn't bad.
Right.
Was it bad?
But there was no hype. But the hype didn't feel real. You know what I'm saying? It felt like, oh, man, that's Candyman. And, okay, there wasn't really a story anyway. So it's like, I feel like we're 2-for-1 on this, like, you know, 2-for-1 this last year, like where Last of Us was great, but then we had these other two that were like, So production value looks high. Obviously, it's going to be. And so we just kind of got to wait and see, because, again, I don't have the nostalgia of Fallout to just love just seeing the colors,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
fair enough.
When the Mario trailer came out, besides me poo-pooing the fact that they wouldn't let Chris Pratt talk in the commercials, just seeing Mario, I was like, oh yeah, baby, I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just don't have that with this.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I do love Fallout. I think the thing that, one of the things that I think Last of Us as a TV series benefits from is that it's, as a video game, it's not very video gamey. You know what I mean? It's a story, but also the story is pretty grounded and pretty, the sci-fi elements, the fantastical elements that are in it aren't, there's not a lot of them.
Yeah, it's downplayed. Know? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's very,
it's actually
human.
About the us of Last of Us, not exactly. So much about the zombies. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the farther you get away from that, I mean, obviously with Fallout, like even in the trailer, you're seeing, you know, these big futuristic sci-fi, you know, there's robots, there's mutants, there's a guy with no nose, you know, there's all kinds of fantastical stuff that requires a lot of CG and effects and stuff like that. And I think the farther you get into that, the tougher sell it might have with an audience that's not already primed for
it. Is that guy in Fallout? The guy with no nose?
Yeah. Yeah, he was in 4. He's
okay, because the first thing I was like, what is Red Skull doing? And you know what I'm saying? That's like the
vibes.
Very first thing I thought. I was like, wait a second. This is Fallout, right? You like kind of look back at the title like, okay, no, yeah, we're Fallout.
Yeah. Yeah. Christian, you know, you've been such a fan of the Fallout TV series as well, and I think less so of Fallout games, but what did you make of the trailer?
I think it's a fantastic trailer. The only thing that I didn't like about the trailer was from the studio that brought you, it said like whatever, Lord of the Rings or some show that they did, and then it goes, and also free 2-day shipping. Like, I get it, Amazon.
It was funny. That was funny. Come on.
But that's not the tone. It was so not the tone of the rest of the trailer.
I know, it wasn't at all, but it was very funny. I thought it was very funny.
If that felt like a weird thing. I was like, oh, does that make me think this is going to be good? Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the studio behind The Boys and Fast Delivery.
Yeah.
Yes, that's basically what it's.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like from the studio. Who's going to be covering all of the boxes of things you buy with tape that says Fallout the Show on it.
That's right.
It's, that felt weird, but I think
from the studio think that's hiring your grandma for 2 months and then laying her off.
Oh man,
that was Walmart. Wow. Speaking of the Fallout,
that's Walmart. You're right.
I think it's a trailer. It's very effective, and I think it hit all the things that I would want it to hit. It shows, as a trailer, respect and reverence for the source material. And I think having Todd Howard's name front and center does a lot of that. As you mentioned, Jeff, having the vault reveal does a lot of that. Showing the power armor does a lot of that. And it also looks really good, and it doesn't tell you tons, which I think is a very effective trailer. It's not like, and this woman, you know, out of Vault 27 has to find her child and a mission across this wasteland. It kind of like leaves you to wonder, which I think if you don't know the game series is very effective. It's like, ooh, this looks cool. Yeah. My question for the show is, what's the show? Because Fallout, I think, to so many people, isn't go rescue your son. You've woken up from it's everything else. Fallout is the story you find around the corner. It's the thing that you do on the way to the thing. And I'm curious what the big story is and how compelling that is to a mass audience. And I think things like Dungeons and Dragons and large open-ended properties have often struggled with that, with saying World of Warcraft, this is the story. And WoW Warcraft has had story, but people don't necessarily play it for that story. And so I'm curious if game fans are like, yeah, this is the story I pictured. And then if general folks find it interesting enough to want to go for the ride.
That's a really good point, because I think that's what, sorry, Jeff, I haven't.
No, please.
It seems like that's what Jeff's hitting on, right? The Last of Us as a show doesn't have that big a uphill battle, because here's the story. Act this well. Now, there was that little change that even Neil Druckmann talked about with Sam and, his brother, I forget. And he was deaf in the show, but he wasn't deaf in the game. And
he was like, they made some changes that were. And
Neil was like, that was a great change. I wish I would have thought of that. And so as a Fallout fan, what do you hope the story is? Because as somebody who I have no idea what Fallout is even about, what do you hope it is? Do you hope it's like go save somebody from another shelter, or what do you hope it is?
Well, Todd Howard has said that it is not a story lifted from the games, that it's an original tale set in the universe of Fallout, which I think is probably wise and
scary.
Yeah, a little scary, but I think the central hook of the Fallout games is compelling dramatically, in that the idea of a Fallout game is there's people that were put in these vaults, these Fallout shelters, because there was, you know, nuclear fallout, and they come out and the world has changed. They've been there for decades. Presumably Lucy, the main character here, that's played by the actress from Yellow Jackets, Ella Purnell. Presumably she never knew the world outside the vault, right? It happened. She was raised in there. You know, because she's young, I'm assuming that's what they're going to, you know, the premise is going to be, I've lived my whole life inside this very sheltered shelter, you know, that this place that is contained, and we never saw the outside world. And then one day the door opens and we walk out into this crazy world of mutants and, you know, shanty towns and all kinds of stuff. And I think that's compelling. That's interesting already. That's not a story. That's a premise, but I think it's a jumping off point for a story. And then her as a fish out of water in that world and encountering people and having to survive and make her way in that larger world can make for a pretty interesting story. So that's what I suspect it will be about. But you know, I don't know. And I think it can have all kinds of different tales, episodic tales, even in that context of like wandering to the next town over and finding the mystery of that town. And there's something going down and she's got to help whatever.
The player of Fallout, is there something special about your person that you're playing? Cause I'm wondering like what's special about this girl?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, sometimes, you know, you were the – everybody died in your vault except you, or, you know, they brought you out because of X, Y, or Z, and you're the only one who can do X, Y, or Z. You know, there's those kinds of things. So perhaps they'll be something like that. But I think just the fact that the world has been going on the surface, you weren't part of it, and now you have to join it, you being this main character of this TV show. I think that's – interesting, and I'm down for it. I'm excited for this show. I'm looking forward to it. Certainly looks like they spent a lot of money on it. So that's,
yeah, it does.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the games that we have been playing. But first, a quick break for a sponsor. It's time for us to tell you about our sponsor, Uncommon Goods. I got bad news for you, Christian. I got bad news. It's time to really buy Christmas gifts for everybody you know. It's the holidays are coming. The holidays are here. Christmas shopping is happening. And if you have not done your shopping yet, don't panic, because there's still time to find those incredible original gifts, the gifts that make people go, wow, where did you get this? Well, the name of the place is Uncommon Goods. UncommonGoods.com has the absolute best gifts for everybody in your life. We're talking moms. We're talking dads. We're talking teens, in-laws, best friends, your one and only, every single person that you know. And it's not stuff that you can find just anywhere, because Uncommon Goods has unique and creative gifts, often handmade by independent artists and makers. So you can skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. Christian, I know that you have had a lot of success with uncommongoods.com, finding those cool, hard-to-find, original, unique, where-did-you-get-that type gifts.
Yeah, we were at a kid's birthday party recently, and I saw that I got there early, and I saw the parents setting up, and I saw the box. I talked about before how we got a great office holiday and birthday gifts from Uncommon Goods, and also a gift for my oldest daughter for her birthday. So I recognized the box and I went over. I was like, ooh, what are you guys setting up for party favors? And they got awesome party favors that were these custom card prints for like the theme of the party that went in each favor that all the kids loved. It was beautiful, really cool art. And then for, I'll talk quieter in case they're awake, hopefully not. We did some holiday shopping of our own. And my daughter loves to draw and loves doing like prompt games with drawing and stuff like that. And we found this really cool thing. It's called Art Out of the Box Solo Drawing Game. And it provides you with like really cool pictures. Like it looks very like hip and really cute drawings on each card. And it creates a game out of, you know, expanding your creativity and drawing. So you pick one card and it tells you like the technique to do, and it's like, oh, do this with your opposite hand, or do it with keeping your pen on the paper the whole time. And it's like, when draw, find one thing specific in your room and make it a repeating pattern on the next object, and you pull another card. So it like kind of gamifies doodling in a way, and you can play it with a group or if you're kind of by yourself. It's just really cool creative prompts. They look great, they feel great in the hand, and I love things like that kind of kickstart your imagination. So when we found that for our kids, we were very excited about it, and we hopefully they don't listen to this episode and find out about it at a time.
Well, Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the United States, and they have the most meaningful, out of the ordinary gifts anywhere. If you're looking for a gift, you don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail, because Uncommon Experiences are more than just virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways, like with a tarot card reading or lunar astrology charting or cooking and mixology classes, crafts, gardening, and so much more. From art and jewelry to kitchen, home, and bar, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, not just the same lackluster gifts you could find just anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/DLC. That's uncommongoods.com/DLC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. All right. Let's talk about the games that we have been playing lately in a segment we call The Playlist. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us on The Playlist. Gabe, what have you been playing lately?
A couple different things, which is usually not my bag. Usually I play one thing at a time because I'm an old man and I forget the controls of the thing I was playing the day before. I'm playing the thing today. I'm grinding away with my sons on the Platinum for Spider-Man 2. Beat the game a while back, but now we're kind of collecting all the spider bots and doing all the little extra things. So that's been fun. They absolutely love the Spider-Man games. I love the Spider-Man games. We were all hype for the second one to come out. I love that it's only on PS5, but it's also daddy's PS5.
So, how are you doing that? Are you doing life or level, or how's that working?
They have a save and I have a save.
Okay.
And so okay, real quick. My kids are young. My boys are 8 and 7.
Okay.
And so I had this weird dichotomy, right? Because I don't know if you remember, but in Peter Parker's Spider-Man, the first one, 2018, there's a lot of cussing in that game. Mm. For whatever reason, the bad guys cuss a lot in that game.
Okay.
We're not a household that cusses, especially with our children.
Yeah.
Then Miles Morales comes along. Miles Morales is way cleaner than Peter Parker's. There's still a little cussing, you know, like that was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know what I'm saying? It's that level, yeah. That movie this year.
PG-13.
Yeah, PG, really, yeah. Kind of, okay. You know, right. Especially comparatively. And so it was kind of one of those things where my kids started seeing the commercials and they were getting so hype. And I just couldn't tell them, like, wait till daddy plays the whole thing. So what ends up happening is I take my PS5 into the living room and we play it together just in case, like, something weird pops off, or
yeah,
just in case Venom scares them and right. We've got it, you know what I'm saying? And so that's kind of how we handled it. So they watched me play it, and what we would do is I would play the story beats and then they would like kind of get us from place to place. So they would do the crimes and they would do some of those other things that were like in between. And then now, since we've gone through it and it's fairly clean, which I was really grateful for, now they've got their own save and they've already beat the game and now they're doing extra stuff as well. And so that's how we're handling that. So I've been playing a lot of Spider-Man 2. I've been playing a ton of Disney Speedstorm. I didn't think I was going to like that game. I kind of bought it to support it and then never downloaded it. And then once it went free to play, then I downloaded it on like all the things, right? So that my kids could have them on their Switches and stuff like that, just in case they got attached to it. So I've been playing a lot of Disney Speedstorm and then the new Call of Duty. I'm a sucker for Call of Duty. I don't care about almost anything. It just feels right. Don't change anything. It's the perfect game. You know, kind of like Mario Kart. It's like, don't change anything. It's perfect.
Just give me more.
And I don't care that it's reskinned. I don't care if it's deep or shallow. It just feels good. Throw me a multiplayer and I'm happy. So those are the three that I've been kind of bouncing around the most lately.
That's awesome. So let's dig in a little bit, because I haven't played any of Disney. Was it Speedster? Is it Speedster?
Speedstorm.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I knew that and I did not recall it. But it's like the Mario Kart with Disney characters, right?
Yeah. 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 And we're a big Disney family. We try to go as often as we can. I'm too grown to like it as much as I do, but I love it. It's just been really fun. A lot of the voice actors returned for it, which is really great. And so just hearing those guys and those voices that you know so well, you know, Bill Farmer, who does Goofy.
Yeah.
Right when he's up at a con in Columbus right now. And Columbus, Ohio. And he just put up a video of himself. He's like, hey, Bill Farmer here. You know, I brought some of my friends with me, you know, Goofy. And he kind of goes into it and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, that's
so great.
And so just hearing those voices, the guy that does Genie is really great. You know, they get Tom Hanks's brother actually to do Woody. And so they've got the same kind of voice. I think they had homeboy come back who played Hades in Hercules.
Oh yeah,
big movie star. Anyway, yes. he's back and voice and
he
stuff.
He has
and
so, to be back. There's a he is he said James, some stuff.
James,
ooh, you're so close. That is
Google
right.
It real quick.
I don't know his last name.
Hades actor yeah. Dizzy. It's like right there. None of it. People are yelling. James Woods.
James Woods.
I had half
he's,
of
he's,
it.
He's done said some stuff online that
yeah,
like
he's not other, a great person.
People oh, really? Wouldn't make it out of, but he's got a great contract with Disney where it's something
yeah.
like
yeah.
they have to use him. It's pretty incredible.
Really?
Like,
is that the case?
He was like back on the ride. Everybody's like, why? Yeah. And it's like, yeah, oh, I wow. got this paper.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't know anything about that. So sorry, but he's in the game. That's also, I have a really bad memory and it's really great because I forget who I'm supposed to be mad at. But so yeah, Disney Speedstorm is, yeah, it's definitely Mario Kart with Disney characters, and they actually did it really well, and it feels really good. The controls are a little different, so it took me a second to wrap my brain around them, just the drifting and using the items. And then how it's broken down is like certain characters are certain things. So like somebody's a trickster, so the powers they get are gonna jack up other riders. Some people are brawlers, so the items they get, it's not like Mario Kart where everybody gets all the items. It's like right. some characters get some of the items that go along with the kind of racer they are. And so that's really cool just because it balances out how you play the game. Multiplayer is good and quick. And yeah, and you unlock, there's a bunch of characters in this game.
Yeah.
And you kind of unlock them as you go. Right now they're doing Frozen. They're doing Arendelle. And so the girls and Olaf and Kristoff and all those guys are new players to the game. So it's really great. It's free. We didn't spend any money on it. I mean, I bought the early thing, but like as far as my kids and their accounts, that we haven't had to buy anything for them to still enjoy the game. It's great hearing Mickey and Daffy and Donald. I mean, Mickey and Donald. I always put Daffy in there, Daffy Duck in there. But Daisy and yeah. Minnie and all them. So yeah, it's a really good time. I'm really liking the game. And then the music is really great. They take the songs that you know from the lands and they remix them and they make them really fun. And
that's
so,
cool.
Yeah,
that's great. That's awesome. That's Disney's Speedstorm.
Yes.
Yeah, name always eludes me. And then Call of Duty, that you're playing Modern Warfare 3.
Yes, that's right.
I'm
sure. Whichever one it is. I have no idea which one it is.
Yeah, you're the guy. You're one of the guys that ignores the campaign, right? You just hop into multiplayer. You don't care about the campaign. Is that
used
is that
to be
accurate?
A campaign guy?
Okay.
Every Call of Duty. It's only been the last two for some reason. I think because I got a little friend group that loves playing multiplayer, and so they kind of send the text out, and it's like, "Yep, I'm there. Yep, I'm there. Yep, yeah. I'm there." And so we hop on, and a bunch of musicians that I know here in Nashville, and we all play together, and it's just super duper fun. On my Twitter, actually, I put up I just got off tour, and so I was putting up like my little setups, and we would find like the press box that would overlook the whole arena, and so you see like the stage getting set up, and you see me like sitting there playing Call of Duty. And so
oh, that's rad.
I love playing it all around the country, and so it's been really fun just jumping back in there, because it's perfect. It's the perfect first person shooter. It's tight, the sliding, the jumping, you know, everything just feels right. It's not like some, like, you know, I remember when I first played Fortnite, actually, when it first came out, and how the bullets bent and how it, like, I was like, oh, am I in a pool? Like, I don't understand, like, how. But yeah, I couldn't tell you which Call of Duty it is. Modern Warfare 3 sounds right. And
all right,
I play them every year. I play them every year.
Awesome. Very cool. Christian Spicer, what is on your playlist?
Well, it'd be suicide for me to talk about what I've been playing a lot of. So I won't do that. But a game that I've been playing that I really like that I can talk about that I had missed before is El Paso Elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I played a bunch of this as well a while back.
El Paso Elsewhere, I think it came out in September. I think it had a Steam Next Fest demo. I think I first saw it when the developer was on Kinda Funny's Indie Games Showcase that they do. I think it was around GDC. Shout out to Kinda Funny and the light they shine on so many great games and how they use their platform to do that. It's awesome. And I had kind of missed this game. It's like, oh, I should play it. I never got around to it. And I think it was now on Paste Magazine's top 30 games of the year list. They come out their list. And I think pace list is always very interesting. Like there's always the things that you know in there, like, And then I feel like there's always really interesting things. And they usually do a good job articulating why that game is in there. And it's like, no, yeah, it had this glitch and the graphics aren't great, but it made me feel this way, or it made me think about what a game could be this way.
Interesting.
And if memory serves, El Paso Elsewhere, I think, was their number two game this year. And I was like, okay, Steam wish list. time to move into the actual library. So I bought El Paso Elsewhere. It's incredible. I have not rolled credits on it just yet. Because of suicides. I think you can say it was available. People are playing it. So I haven't rolled credits on El Paso Elsewhere, but it is Max Payne inspired, heavily Max Payne inspired. And
Max Payne with vampires.
Is that what it is?
Basically.
Yes, but also like leaning into the Max Payne kind of dream sequences, but not in like the annoying, I think it was Max Payne 2 that did it more. It was like a lot of baby crying in a corner
along the bloodline. Off the bloodline.
Oh my God.
As a wall then melts and a baby cries. Yeah. So it's like the good parts of that, if that makes sense, because also, as you mentioned, Jeff, we just did an Alan Wake 2 spoiler chat with Philippe, Alex, and I. And so I'm very much team Remedy. I love Remedy. I love what they're putting out. I love what they're doing. And El Paso Elsewhere feels like a Remedy game in that way of going back to Max Payne and Max Payne 2. And it does the thing with the full screen title card coming in and saying, like, you know, the level you're on. At the end of level, you get this really great music sound up. The game uses music beautifully throughout. But this game also looks like a PS2 era game. It very much looks like Max Payne. The rough polygonal shapes, the kind of flat textures for faces. But it takes this idea of the protagonist's girlfriend is a vampire, and like the head vampire. And you get this really cool story going on of like, I should have seen this coming. I was an idiot to think it wouldn't go this way. But love makes you do stupid stuff. And he like gets his pills,
so great.
Eats them, and he's like, I always knew this was going to be a one-way trip. Just got to get it done. And it's like, oh.
So there's even pills in it?
Yeah, there's pills.
Sorry?
I said there's pills in it because Max Payne had the pills too.
Yeah. Yes. And so it like really leans into it. It's like an homage, and it has the bullet time and the diving. But it's also because you're going into this motel in El Paso that is an elsewhere. It's like transformed by this vampiric energy. Like as you're going down the elevator, like the world falls out. And you're just kind of on this elevator chain going down into this vast nothingness. And he's just like, yeah, I should have known that was going to happen.
There's like no roof on the hotel at all. It's like this nebulous other world. You're in a hotel, but then there's like no roof on it.
And then some levels later in the game, like doors are floating above, and you walk through the first time and nothing happens. And you come through the second time and vampires fall out of those doors. So it like sets up this kind of tension, not Alan Wake 2 level of tension, but like does a really good job kind of keeping you on your toes. And then the shooting is it's still really fun. Like Max Payne 2, Max Payne 1, those games hold up mechanically. And this takes from that and kind of tightens it. It makes it feel modern. It feels like how I think Max Payne 1 played, you know, but at a great frame rate in great resolution, but yet still using those the homage graphics. And again, a absolutely killer soundtrack. So I sat on this game for too long, and I think, you know, I don't know if it'll make my top five favorites of the year, but for where I am right now, I'll probably be singing it out again as a other five. I think a lot of people probably missed this game like I did. And if you are looking for that action-packed, running and gunning, you know, jumping in and doing stuff and doing it well, and with a really cool story, I don't want to like spoil where the story goes, but like, it's super interesting. Like, yeah, it's kind of cheesy and dripping in this idea of like, you know, noir. It's
noir, yeah.
But like really cool. And like as it changes and evolves with him, like the larger mythology of the world where he's like, yeah, but I've also fought griffins and unicorns. That one was a real jerk. You know, and it's like, ooh, it's just really fun. It's really, really fun. El Paso Elsewhere. A real gem of an indie game, I think.
That's interesting. I played this several weeks ago and I never brought it up on the show because I just did not vibe with this game at all.
Whoa.
I love it. The exact opposite.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring it up and just trounce Bash on it. But
now that I liked it, floodgates.
Well, you're bringing it up. So I'm
I know.
Weigh in on my opinion. I don't think you mentioned it being looking like PS2. I don't think it looks like a PS2. I think it looks like a PS1 game. But it's very primitive looking. I mean, it's intentionally so, right? It's intentionally so. But I don't want people to get the wrong idea. This is a very primitive looking game, right? It's very
it's those retro polygonal, you know. Yeah, it's 4K, yeah. But it's very like purposefully.
Yeah, it looks like Virtual Fighter, right? It looks it's very, very primitive looking. Which is fine. That's an aesthetic that it's going for. And I think the strongest element of this game is the fun cinematic, the cinematics, which are, I mean, it does a lot of really cool stuff with quick cuts and angles. Like it'll like underneath the guy's head and to the right of the guy's head as he's like, I was not there. You know, it's like changing camera angles each line, or it'll do fun stuff like that. And I think that's where it's strongest. I thought the actual gameplay, I was not vibing with it at all. It did not click with me. I adore the Max Payne games. They played them, you know, as they came out, and they hold a very special place in my heart at a very special time in my life.
Same.
This game sort of it adds like a drive a stake through the heart of the vampire thing, and you can get stakes by breaking anything in the environment. We'll leave like a wooden stake, and you know, you're walking through this hotel room, and there's a chair. You can smash the chair, and you'll have a stake. And it does. My experience was that it used that as a way to mitigate the fact that you're kind of always out of ammo. And I did not find the melee stake combat to be very fun or satisfying. And, I don't know. I didn't think it got the Max Payne, formula. It felt like, a riff on a riff. It didn't feel like it nailed it for me. I love the fact that you love it, Christian. I'm not trying to disparage it. I just giving a counterpoint to the fact that I was pretty disappointed with this one, and I bounced off of it. It just was not vibing with it at all. But well, I know a lot of people really think highly of it.
If folks are thinking about giving it a try, what I also really love about the game is right when you start a level or start the game, you're presented with these options. It's not even difficulty. Yes, there's difficulty, but below that, you can see the granular things that it changes. So if you go from like standard and you put it on story mode or whatever, it's like, oh, this gives me, I do 2x damage on enemies and they do 0.5x damage on me, and I have this much more slow-mo. And then you can go in and tweak that stuff yourself. And you can also turn on, what I turned on was auto reload, because I found the manual reload button to take me out of the flow of the jumping and the slow-mo and all the stuff I wanted to be doing. So I turned on auto reload, but you can also turn on unlimited ammo, and it's all just there for you. And I love when games do that. I think I agree with you. The first few levels, I felt resource starved in terms of ammo. Later, when I have like my SMG and my shotgun, I feel like I was just getting more and more ammo than I would have needed. But I love that stuff's there, and it doesn't penalize it. It doesn't make it feel lesser. It's kind of like, here's this cool action game we've made, and we want you to experience it. And every time you start the game, when you go to a new level, that those set of options are there for you. So I think if you are playing it, dear listener, and you kind of feel that one of those edges is ruining the experience for you, change it. Change it and go back, because I think the game wants you to play your way, which I love.
It's pretty funny too. When you die, it's like, that's not how it happened. And then if you die again, and it'll be like, that's not how it happened. Like it's like, come on, pal, stop dying on the same
together.
Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah. I love it. And it was like $20. I think it was like on sale for $15 on Steam sale. So it runs great on deck too. It when it launched, apparently it didn't, but it runs really well on Steam Deck now. So I've been loving it there as well.
Again, it's called El Paso Elsewhere.
Yes, sir.
What else is on your playlist?
Well, remember how I said we did an Alan Wake 2 spoiler chat and how I love Remedy? Well, guess what Uncle Christian did? I started replaying Quantum Break.
Oh, man.
You were like, they can't have made a bad game.
And I was like, I remember playing Quantum Break and talking about it on this very show years ago. Yeah. And not really liking it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not good.
I did not like it when I first played it. I love this game, Jeff. It's so good.
Oh, man, you're
hurting Jeff's feelings this week.
your Kool-Aid went down fine.
Maybe. Also, I think I'm just in a different headspace. So I've skipped all the TV episodes, and it's like, and I'm like, no, I do not.
Those are so long.
I do not want to watch that. And so far, I don't think the story, I'm missing anything. It was like this awkward thing of like, we want them to. It's kind of like, do I have to watch She-Hulk? Disney's like, yeah, you do. Also, no, you don't. You know, it's like, that's what
She-Hulk
the Quantum
is very
Break.
Good, Christian. Don't use that as the example.
Did I have to watch it?
Do I have to watch Captain
Moon Knight?
Winter Soldier?
I thought that Falcon was very Winter good. Soldier. Oh, man. Okay, now blood is drawn. But I've been skipping the TV show because I feel like I don't need that. The game's going to tell its own story. I've been playing on PC mostly. And it looks really good, I think, and it runs really well. I think if you put this up against some games that came out this year, I don't think people would be like, oh, you're playing a game that came out. I think it's 2016. It does not look and feel like that old of a game when I'm playing on PC. Some levels, I had a weird lighting bug. I was like, I wonder if this is the game and purposefully doing this for like atmosphere or not. So I loaded it up on my Series X as well. And it was a lighting bug I had on PC. It doesn't run quite as well on Series X with like the up-res or whatever version of it that it is, but it's still a stunning game. It looks really good. And I think I need to go back and listen to the episode, but I think I was just playing it, air quote, wrong. I think when it came out, I was playing it. We were in the era of the third person cover shooter, whether it was Uncharted or Gears of War. And I would get behind cover and you pop out and you throw your grenade or you use your ability. Then you find new cover and then you kind of do that again. And if I remember correctly, that's kind of how I was playing Quantum Break. And I'm not playing it that way anymore. I am playing Quantum Break like I'm Jesse Fatum in Control. I am flying around these levels. My powers are only not being used for that brief moment when they're in their cooldown. I am just this symphony of destruction, just constantly moving, firing off all of my abilities. And I really see how they got to Control, like how Quantum Break got to Jesse. And like in Quantum Break, you have this air dash, and in Control, I feel like they were like, what if you could just fly? Yes, please. And so it's kind of like elevates all of these things. But man, you got the shield, you have the time bubble distortion, you can hold it to launch a big one, you can dash, and when you upgrade your dash, it reveals where your enemies are. There's even a multi-round pistol that really feels like the service revolver from Control. And I'm playing it totally differently. We're engaging with the game in a different way, and I'm also blown away by either how they paid off loose ends that they set up in this game or the geniuses that Remedy truly are with all of the stuff that exists in Alan Wake 2 in this game. There's stuff in Quantum Break within the first 5 minutes that is so beautifully realized in Alan Wake 2. I just can't comprehend what their conspiracy theory board of this stuff looks like. I mean, there's a chalkboard of stuff laid out that I was sitting there reading, and I was sending it to Alex and Philippe being like, it's the things we just talked about for the spoiler chat. They're right. Unbelievable. But if you are like me and slept on Quantum Break but really loved Control, I think it plays great. It's on Game Pass, and play it like Jesse Fatum. Don't use cover. You kind of auto crouch behind cover. Nah. No. Cover's for losers. Powers are for winners. I love it.
Got to be one of the coolest things about Game Pass is that you can just like go, I don't remember this game, I'm going to reinstall it. It's just so great that it's there, available, and you can play it. And you got the chance to play it both on PC and console, because why not? That's cool. I think that's pretty cool.
I think it's so important about when and how you play games.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I remember playing Quantum Break years after it came out, and I did it for Extra Life actually 1 year. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to play this whole thing through. And I remember really enjoying it. And then two, when you bring up the Steam Deck, I found that there's things on Steam Deck that I love to play that I would never want to sit down at my computer and play. And yes. So I think that there's such, you bring up a good point, especially with Jeff not liking either of the games that you're playing. I could see like El Paso Elsewhere being an amazing Steam Deck game, but yeah. Maybe not a great PS5 sitting down, got all your power, your Xbox Series X game. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because then you do feel like, man, this thing's coming up a little short on the graphics, but on the Steam Deck in your bed, you're like, yeah, this is fine. And it's not draining my battery and it's telling
me. And I run four levels and then put it to sleep and come back. And it's not, I did 20 levels of the same thing. It's just a perfect, that's a really good point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Very cool. And it's funny to me that you are skipping all the TV show parts of Quantum Break. Cause I mean, I remember playing that originally, I think on Xbox One, right? That was like the big Xbox One game. Mm-hmm. Cause the Xbox One, the whole gimmick behind the One was that it was going to be your one where you watch HBO. Yeah. It was your one input, right? It had pass through for all your cable. And so it was like this integrated, like it's part TV, part video game system. And this was the game that was also part TV, part video game. And so I suspect a lot of that colored my reaction to it at the time too, was that the TV show stuff, I didn't think landed very well and perhaps soured my experience. You know, maybe I deserve to give or it deserves me to give it a second chance the way you have. But boy, I just remember really being disappointed with Quantum Break.
I think people will pull the episode. I think both of us were, and I was probably like, it's fine, but I don't know. It's not hitting. And now it slaps nonstop.
But it's also before you had fallen madly, deeply in love with Remedy.
Well, it wasn't, because I was deeply in love with Remedy, Max Payne 2, and then I was like, Alan Wake 1, and then I was like, ooh, Quantum Break, here we go, this isn't good.
I feel like Control is where your love affair really blossomed, where you consummated it, so to speak.
Look, the Bells issue was post-Control, you're right,
Fair enough. All right, so that's Quantum Break. It's available on Game Pass, maybe it deserves a second look. Most of the gaming, like I said, I've been traveling a lot, but I did play some VR stuff, so let's get into that. Virtual reality. So the big release this week on MetaQuest 3 was an authentic Steam Link app. Valve put out an app for MetaQuest 3 that allows you to play Steam VR games on MetaQuest 3, streaming them from your PC as long as you have you're on the same Wi-Fi network.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah is right.
Hallelujah.
Is right. And I believe with this release, the MetaQuest 3 is the best VR headset on the market.
I can see that.
It is. I mean, it's a bummer that there are VR games that are exclusive to PSVR and PSVR 2 that you can't play. And I think the PSVR 2 is a solid headset. But I think on every level now, MetaQuest 3 surpasses PSVR 2, in my opinion. It is not tethered.
The opinion of someone who hates El Paso Elsewhere.
Yeah, so take that as what you mean. I'm glad I have a PSVR 2. I think it looks great, and there are some great experiences on it that you can't get anywhere else.
But the library.
The library is lacking, and I don't know how confident I am that – you know, something like Synapse that came out this year, I think was one of my favorite VR experiences of the year. It is
a great game.
It can only be played on that platform. The Horizon VR game, great game, can only be played on the PSVR platform.
The good version of RE4 coming out this week.
Yeah. I suspect there'll be a PC release, but maybe not. Maybe not.
Well, maybe the Horizon one will too, right?
Maybe that's
Sony's playing that game. Sony's playing that game a little bit. So
here's hoping.
Never say never.
I'm going to knock on wood on that one. Here's hoping. But the fact that The Meta Quest 3 now has a way to airlink the Oculus experience, the PC Oculus games like Lone Echo, Lone Echo 2, and so many others that are exclusive to Oculus that require a beefier computer than is in the standalone headset. But you can now wirelessly transmit those to the headset. And now any VR game that's on Steam, you can do the same. I installed it. It couldn't have been easier.
Really?
Simple. You download the free Steam VR app on the headset. You have Steam loaded on your PC. As long as the PC and the headset are on the same Wi-Fi network, it says, here's the code. It's a 4-digit code. Type it into your Steam, on PC. Boom. We're talking to each other. You're good to go. And it literally loads the Steam VR UI into the headset. So now it looks like you are in Steam VR. It's that same home experience. All my VR apps that I had on my Index are available to me to play. And I started playing Half-Life Alyx on my Meta Quest 3. And Christian, I felt like I was playing the remastered edition of Half-Life Alyx. Even though that doesn't exist, there's no remaster. It just
Like a beefier GP now, or like, but you played it wired before, or just because no cable? Like, what made it
the quality of the headset?
The screen itself.
The quality of the image in the headset is so much better than the Index, which is still available for purchase at a much higher price than the Meta Quest 3. The image is so crisp; it has no screen door effect. I felt like I was playing that game in a whole new way, seeing things. It is so beautiful. The frame rate was great. Now, granted, I have a beefy GP. I am on a beefy computer, and I was playing mere feet from my Wi-Fi router, right? So I'm not like...
And your computer's tethered, right? Like they recommend your computer to be locally plugged. Like,
my computer is Ethernet connected to my router. My headset obviously was not, but I wasn't terribly far from my router. So I'm not suggesting, like, if you're, I don't know, walking in the woods trying to do this, you know, in your backyard or whatever.
Please don't go walking in the woods, please.
But the, you know,
it's like I'm really there. Whoa!
Yeah. I'm really there. Yeah, why am I
fall
there?
Off a cliff. Yeah.
Yeah.
This wind feels crazy.
The sense of
exactly right.
But
that bear's teeth are sharp.
But having said all of that, I don't think having the best condition, obviously the, you know, high-end computer part is expensive, so I recognize that I have a good video card, all that stuff, but I think achieving optimal conditions is not difficult, right? As long as you have a place to put the headset on that's relative, has good Wi-Fi connection, has a good, you know, I don't think that's hard to do. You know, if you have a good Wi-Fi in your house, it's going to work. And the frame rate was excellent. The image was beautiful and crisp. Everything worked. Everything just worked. And it's so cool because in the menus and stuff, you look down and you see the Meta Quest controllers, right? Because the Index controllers, for example, are very different. They have the squeezy grip and all, they look different, but it's completely feels like a native experience to the Quest. And it works so well immediately. That entire library is available. There's so many great games on Steam VR to play, Half-Life Alyx being one. You have, you know, an easy way to play all the great Oculus games that have come out. Like I said, Lone Echo, Lone Echo 2 are two of my very, very favorites. It's so great that this works like this. This headset is relatively inexpensive. It's not cheap. It's $300-$400. But
$500.
Is it $500? $500. You're right. thinking the two. The two is $400. Whatever. Mm. Doesn't matter. It's less expensive than the index. It's less expensive than the index.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's not cheap. But I think it is, for me, the premier VR headset. Now, obviously, Apple's going to come in and have something to say about that. But at an extraordinarily high price point, right? You can get seven Quest 3s for the price of one Apple Vision Pro. But I think for right now, like with the pass-through, with the AR stuff, with the way you can play literally so many games that have come out, if you're thinking right now about getting into VR this holiday, it has never been easier for me to say there is one headset to rule them all. And it's hard because, as I said, PSVR 2 is a strong candidate. I think the comfort level of the Quest is superior to the comfort level of PSVR 2. I think, you know, the pass-through is better. Pass-through on the PSVR 2 is only black and white. You have color pass-through on Quest 3. It's just easy for me to recommend at this point. And I was go ahead.
So here's my question to you. Is this a mea culpa of Valve and saying Meta run with it? Or is this Valve saying we got ours coming too and it's going to be a standalone, so we needed to make a play nice and we're going to
hope, because
they've wanted Steam VR on everything. And so yeah. Is this their way of trying to open up that wall? But they have what's rumored to be Deckard or whatever the alleged.
Right.
I'd be very curious if, you know, Valve makes a Steam Deck headset, you know, like a one thing self-contained. Now that they have this technology proven out in a way that seems to work really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, the rumor is that that's what they're working on. So who knows? I was surprised that this happened, but I do like the fact that these are less and less closed ecosystems, right? Obviously Meta isn't playing nice in reverse, right? You can't get Oculus games. Actually, you can. It's just not them doing it, but you can. you know, I wish there was a little more back and forth with the PlayStation headset, but of course it's, you know, console mentalities are, you know, it's closed ecosystems.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did they figure out the whole one login, two quests, two or more quests with Meta? Because remember when Meta 2 came out, there was this whole like kerfluffle where it's like if you signed in there, then something happened with the original. Did they get that all figured out? Because we skipped the two, and I'm really thinking about getting the Quest 3 because my kids have fallen in love with playing VR stuff. But I was like, how will that play nice, or do they have to have their own Facebook account? Can I, you know what I'm saying? How's that all working?
I don't know the exact answer to that, to be frank. I suspect there is, because there's a number of games that have come out that are Quest exclusives that allow you, they have this new technology where the headsets, another headset will see, they'll see each other in the same room. And so you can play things like Demio battles, and there's a bunch of AR games where you can be all standing around the same thing and seeing each other and all manipulating the same thing in real time that's in front of you. And it'll see another headset in the same room as you and you know, interact with it.
Wow.
It's possible that it still requires you to have distinct profiles
Sure.
You know, logins to do that. I don't know, but I haven't had the opportunity to try that. But I hopefully they figured it out. I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Christian, logging into Half-Life Alyx again and seeing it like with fresh eyes, it's such a bummer to me that this tech hasn't taken off, because that's what's possible. And it's been possible. We could still be doing that. And it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful in the Quest 3. It's more, I mean, I spent so much money on the Index. It was the top of the line at the time. And I had that incredible experience playing that game. But now it looks so much worse than what's capable. It's so crisp. It's so, the image is so sharp. Ugh. It feels like I'm playing a whole new game again. And I was like, I want to play all through this. And I'm not tethered anymore. You know, I'm spinning around. I'm fighting bad guys and doing all kinds of stuff. And I don't have to worry about the cord anymore, which is so nice. It's really great.
Yeah, it's cool. That is very cool.
And, you know, I was so high last week. I was talking about I was so high on Assassin's Creed Nexus VR, which I still think is excellent. I know that Meta and the developers that they've acquired, their mandate is to create standalone experiences, and so they're sort of limited by the standalone capabilities of the headset. But like, why? Like let there be these powered experiences that just seamlessly, wirelessly stream. I understand their selling point is, hey, buy this. You don't even need a computer. Just buy it, and now you can play all these things. And I think that's compelling, but it's holding back the level of verisimilitude. You know, the level of it looks like real. It looks beautiful and realistic and awesome in the headset. I think Assassin's Creed Nexus VR, great. But compared to Half-Life Alyx streamed, it's not comparable. You know, it's wow. Nice.
You're saying what we kind of talked about for a while. This is why we are peanut butter and chocolate, Jeff, shaking hands, is you are VR and I am cloud gaming.
Yeah.
And
well, that is the same thing. Yeah.
That is the unison. Is like when GeForce Now works on a Meta Quest 3 or something like that, and the latency and all that stuff. Cause then it's that one shot, you got everything you need. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that.
I mean, we're kind of like, that's it. We're not there in the sense that it's still being computed on my PC and not from the cloud, but it's proving to me, it's making me eat my words a bit when I was like, oh, I'm really glad the PSVR 2 is wired because I want all the, it's like, no, Sony could have just wirelessly streamed PS5 stuff to my headset.
What would they call it? The PSVR 2 portal? They'll never make that.
Anyway, we got a listener question about VR that I wanted to read. This comes from Paul, who wrote this to dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Paul said, I have a PS4 and PSVR, no PS5. PSVR 2 is expensive. It has occurred to me just to get the latest Meta thing, Oculus Quest 3, and skip the PSVR 2 version because the latter would be like $2,000 or something, and that's hard to justify at my advanced age. I found that gaming in VR doesn't engage me, but I really enjoy it for other more casual activities, and it seems like there are more non-gaming VR alternatives on platforms other than PlayStation. For example, I think a Google Earth in VR is available and not on PlayStation. That's correct, Paul. Do you have thoughts, recommendations on this? Maybe a non-gaming VR could be an interesting topic for VR talk. I realize it's kind of outside the purview of the show, but game is a broad term these days for all kinds of interactive media, so maybe it works. I will say, just briefly, to answer your question, that yes, Steam VR, as you might expect, has many more of these kinds of experiences than PlayStation does, right? PlayStation is a PlayStation, and they are much more curated in what is available. Steam, and for that matter, just the native Oculus Quest store or the Meta Quest store has a lot of productivity apps. You can watch, for example, one of my favorite things to do in the Quest 3, which I never enjoyed on previous versions of the headsets because the image was not crisp enough. But one of my favorite things to do is watch 3D movies, which I know a lot of people have distaste for, but I still love 3D movies. And you can watch trailers for 3D movies on Meta Quest 3, and they look so good. They look so good. It's like you're in a giant movie theater and you're watching 3D trailers for Titanic and, you know, Life of Pi and all these great movies. And it's the best version of 3D. The idea that you probably have in your head of sitting in a movie theater wearing flimsy glasses that 400 people wore before you and were wiped off barely by the attendant before they were thrown in a big tub, and then you put on your face and it looks kind of crappy and it's low light, and that is not the experience. The experience inside a virtual reality headset is the best 3D movie viewing experience on the planet. And it is so infuriating to me that PlayStation VR 2 does not support 3D Blu-ray viewing, because PlayStation VR 1 did, and it would probably look so much better on PSVR 2, but they don't support it anymore. You should be able to just pop your old 3D Blu-rays in there and watch a 3D movie, but you can't. But you can watch 3D movies on Quest 3. Obviously, you can't watch Blu-rays, but they have apps that let you do that. You can purchase 3D movies and watch them. So anyway, that's one thing. But there's all – yeah, Google Earth in VR is stunning and amazing. I've talked before, I think, on this show about the piano vision app on Meta Quest 3 that uses AR to teach you piano, like a real piano. If you have a real piano in your house or a keyboard, it'll teach it to you like it's Guitar Hero. Lots of really cool stuff like that. There's all kinds of productivity apps and painting and drawing and CAD and visual modeling and stuff like that. All kinds of stuff like that on Steam VR. So yeah, I would recommend, like I said, I've gotten to this place now where I used to equivocate and be like, I don't know which one I would recommend. It's Meta Quest 3 right now. Today, this holiday season, it's the easiest thing to recommend as far as getting into VR.
Wow. You're tilting me. Cause I've been on the fence. You know, we've got the first one, and it's one of the reasons I love it is because my kids have fallen in love with Star Wars because of Vader Immortal. And so they play through those episodes and they absolutely love it. And then, you know, I had some buddies that like every Tuesday night get together and VR game together. And they were like, hey, so you got to download this Steam thing and then blah, 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 and then plug it into the side and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, man, that is clunky. I don't feel like doing that. And then when hearing this, you're like, oh, shoot. And I've got like a mesh system at my house. And so I think that even if I was inside the house, I could still probably run some things off of Steam VR just because of how the mesh, you know, internet works. That so maybe my kids could still enjoy some of those things. Like, shoot, AR piano playing is, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, I put my 7-year-old in the headset, and in like a minute and a half, he was playing, I mean, you know, not perfectly, but he was playing Happy Birthday on the piano. We have like a little keyboard, a little MIDI keyboard, and he was playing it for everybody wearing the headset. Just like he never played it anything like that before.
Wow!
But because it shows you, you know, where to play, put your fingers on the thing, really slick, and it felt like the future, you know. So I recommend it. Hard to recommend Facebooky stuff, but I feel like they really did it.
Not anymore. The biggest gift they ever got was Twitter becoming X. Everybody's like, Mark. Pro Mark again now.
I miss Tom.
Tom's just living his life. He's so happy right now.
I hope so. Watching the world burn.
And it's I don't need to belabor the point, but it's comfortable. Like, I don't even have the fancy, they sell you a fancy strap. I don't have it. I have the regular strap, and it's so comfortable. It's so light. Anyway. All right. Let's wrap the show up. It's been a fun one. It's been a super fun one. And thank you, Gabe Patillo, for being here. You're awesome. We appreciate hanging out with you and talking games.
Honored to be here. Seriously.
Thank you.
Honored.
Yeah. It's our honor to have you. Can you tell folks where they can keep up with you and all the cool stuff that you do?
Yeah, man. We're over at the Married to the Games podcast. Like you guys, we just turned 11.
Hey, congratulations.
You guys are about to turn 10, so congratulations on that. It's hard to do. It's hard to keep going. A lot of podcasts have come and gone.
That's right.
10 years. So congratulations to you guys. Hats off. And I know you guys are pumping out a lot of content. Married to the Games, you can find us at MTTGcast on X.com. I'm at Gabe Patillo. You can come see the little things I'm getting into, whether it's voiceover or, you know, we just got back from doing the Macy's Day Parade in New York, which was really fun over Thanksgiving. Awesome. So yeah, man, we're all over the place. We're finally, if you Google Married to the Games, we're finally the first thing that popped up. There used to be a show called Married to the Game, which was about a rapper and his wife, the game, the rapper.
Right.
So we've overtaken that finally because I think that's been off.
See what you do? That's what longevity gets you. You know, you stick around long enough.
Exactly.
Everybody else falls to the wayside. Yeah.
So just Google Married to the Games. We're right there. We're about to head out to, it's kind of what you talked about stuff happening after you record. So Tuesday, we'll record our show for this week. And then Wednesday, head out to the Game Awards. But our show won't come out till Friday. So we'll have to do a bonus episode because the thing is on Thursday. And so we're really excited to be out at the Game Awards this year. All four of us will be out there, so it'll be really fun. So yeah, man, come follow along. We're just some regular old dudes talking gaming.
Love it. Well, have a great time and say hi to Jeff for us.
Yeah,
but don't leak anything.
I'm scared to say hi to him too loud because I mean I heard security is going to be off the chain this year. Mm-hmm, because,
Do not approach the stage in any way.
No, I'll be yelled from my seat like, Jeff, what do you do, buddy? All right. No, I'm good. Hey, don't tase me, bro.
Fantastic. Christian Spicer, what about you? What do you got going on this week?
Well, it's already out, but I'll shout it out again. I think that Alan Wake 2 spoiler chat that Philippe Osher, Alex Solman, and I did was excellent. Almost immediately after finishing it, we were all discording each other, being like, no, there's so much more we could say. Should we jump back on and record more? We think we're going to wait until the expansions come out. So look for more Alan Wake 2 content as that content comes into the world. But that is available for all patrons now, any level to go check out. Again, spoiler, full spoiler. I think the first words out of Philippe's mouth are like the last words of the game. So
spoilers.
I say like, hey, this is a spoiler chat. And then Philippe is like, Darth Vader's the dad, you know?
The end.
Really awesome conversation though. So I hope folks enjoy that. Check it out if they haven't. This show is on Threads and on Instagram as DLC Hype Train. And we're also on YouTube at DLC Pod. And then my newsletter, it's a twice a month newsletter called Let's Chat Games that used to be on Tiny Letter, is no longer on Tiny Letter because Tiny Letter is going away. It is that thing that things that happens with things on the internet, company buys thing, says it's not going to change thing. Mm-hmm. And then kills thing 2 days later. We respect thing. That's why we bought it. We're going to keep it the same. You're all fired. Thing is going away. So it is at Substack now, christianspicer.substack.com, whatever the Substack URL is that I haven't even fully learned yet. But it is on Substack. You can get it there. You can subscribe. I would appreciate that. And the first one on Substack went out last Friday, and it was inspired by a conversation we had on this show, Jeff, on episode 523 about what we could see the next Uncharted game being. Mm-hmm. And I kind of took that and ran with it of this idea of, is a franchise married to its character, and how can franchises exist apart from their star? Because more often than not, they don't. And I think there's a world where they can. And so that's what the most recent newsletter was about. Again, it is on Substack, Christian Spicer. Hope folks check it out.
Very cool. You can follow me on socials. I'm at Jeff Cannata, which is spelled with two N's and one T. I want to tell you about my Amazon storefront, which a lot of people have been commenting to me on. I put together a bunch of my favorite stuff because around this time of year, people are always asking me for ideas. People are asking me for board game recommendations and all kinds of ideas. I thought, and to be honest, when I say I mean my wife insisted that I would let people know the things that have been part of my world, part of the things that I have enjoyed. It's a very curated set of lists, and they have a whole bunch of topics. There's board games. There's stuff that my kids love. My daughter has sensory issues and special needs, and there's stuff that's worked for her. So there's all kinds of cool topics, household items, things I can't live without, like my favorite hot sauce and my favorite barbecue sauce are on there. You know, the essentials.
That's right.
So check it out. Amazon.com/store/Jeff Cannata is where you go to find maybe some gift ideas for the people in your life or just ways to improve your life. I get a little commission if you buy it through that, so I would appreciate it if you checked it out. You can also check out other shows I do. The Film Cast is about movies and TV shows. We Have Concerns is about science, and it's a jokey show. And I do a sports show called The Fan Controlled Show. It's on Fan Controlled Sports and Entertainment. All that stuff available where you get fine podcasts. All right, let's wrap the show up now with our parting gifts.
Hey, give us a suggestion.
Gabe, do you have a suggestion to help people get through their week?
Yeah. I would say encourage those around you to start Amazon wish lists.
Yes.
Because it is the season for gift giving, and we all love knocking it out of the park, and a lot of us miss a lot of the time. And so I'm speaking from experience. And so I would say, man, encourage your friends and family, especially your loved ones, maybe a partner. Say, hey, let me show you this thing. It's called Amazon wish list. Put what you want on here and we'll try to get it for you. Because I think there's nothing better than opening a gift you want.
Yeah. Yes. Love that. I am so bad at doing that. My family gets so mad at me. They're like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know.
When you're a grown man, you're like, I've bought it throughout the year. Yes. The thing I wanted.
Yes.
They're like, well, what should we get you? And then you end up with socks. And then you're kind of mad that you got socks. And wish you would have got something else, but you didn't tell them anything.
Right.
So don't get socks. Don't get socks for your loved ones. Find out what they want on their Amazon wish list.
That's great. Love it. Christian Spicer, your parting gift.
I love socks. I'm going to go out and say.
Christian's wish list is just socks all the way down.
Striped socks, pattern socks.
I love a good sock. My wife got me a custom sock that had our dog's face on it. They're great. A buddy of mine got me Joshua Tree socks. They're great. Ooh. I love a good sock. I love a nice wool sock for the cold. When I get cold tootsies, I love a good sock. But I also, Gabe, I love a list. I love, yes, please, dear listener, make a list. And be okay as the purchaser buying something off said list.
That's right.
I know enough adult friends are like, well, I don't want to get my partner something that's on their list. No.
That's why it's on the list.
That's why, because you don't want to get them exactly what they want?
Yeah. Well, they're expecting that. They're hoping for it. Like, reinvent the wheel. Don't make it harder than it needs to be. This is also gift related, and this may or may not be on your loved ones or friends list, but a great gift idea, I think, and does not have to be expensive, and it supports an industry I love and a local shop, likely in your neighborhood. Go to your local comic book shop and go into the back catalog and just get a grip of back catalog old comics. I'm not talking Black Cat's first appearance. I'm not talking Wolverine number one. I'm talking X-Force 47 through 56, you know, just like a random, they're cheap, they don't need to be a grade 10, like, but just this really cool run, a random stack of a couple of issues of old comics, and give them to them in a way that lets them know these are meant to be read, flipped through, devoured, don't even have them bored and bagged. I think it's a really cool, tangible thing that it lets people experience that art and that medium in a really cool way and supports your local shop. So go find random old back catalog comics, Hulk 281. I don't know.
I love it.
It's a great issue. Find it.
When I was a kid, I don't know where they got this from because the internet didn't exist. It was all mail order. Some company did a thing where they would send you a brown box full of like 50 random loose comic issues.
I
would get that as a gift on usually during Christmas from a family because I was so into comics. My family, I'd have some aunt or something that like didn't know anything about comics and she just ordered this big box. And it was amazing because it would like, I don't know, 30% of it was absolute garbage. Like, I don't want to read this at all. But 70% of it would be like, oh, that's cool. That's some interesting stuff. And it would be this wild grab bag of just somebody in some store just shoved this pile of comics into a box and sent it off.
That needs to be brought back with like comics and vinyl. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine getting like five random vinyl and five random comics? That'd be a great day.
Your local shop will do it, Gabe. I guarantee you. Because like my local shops, they do those grab bags. And around the holidays, that's a great idea too. And you can go in and ask like, hey, I'm looking for a $10 grab bag of back catalog and maybe one current. And they'll put it together for you. It's awesome. And like, one might be something you're not into. You can give them an age range. Like, we're not in the era of high fidelity anymore, where these, you know, don't think of these shops as like unapproachable. Like, they really want to help and are a wealth of knowledge. And I think it's a really cool physical, tangible thing that you can get that's not a Roblox gift card. It's fun.
That's right.
My parting gift is, as I mentioned, I've been traveling a lot lately. The last few weeks, we're trying to get all to all the various arms of the family in and around the holidays. It's hard to go on the holidays. We're actually going to be home just us for actual Christmas, but we're trying to visit. You know, we got both of my wife and I come from divorced parents, so it's like, you know, order of magnitude more people to see. Anyway, so we're traveling a lot and bringing the kids with us. And we have, over the last couple of weeks, had an opportunity to try to find activities for the kids in these various locations. And it just so happens that we took them to a couple of putt-putt golf courses.
All right, now.
But not just any putt. This is not your dad's putt-putt. And by your dad, I mean me being my kid's dad.
Us. Yeah. Our.
Yeah. We are the dads. We grew up, putt-putt meant you were outside. It was a loop-de-loop or a windmill or a clown's face or something. And it was invariably a kind of rundown and destroyed by the weather and the fact
I think they were built rundown.
Yeah, actually. You're right. They started
when they were brand new. They were run down.
That's right.
It's like when Morgan Freeman was born. Like, he was born old.
He was born old. That's
already
right.
Like, with age on him, Benjamin Button.
They were the Benjamin Buttons of golf courses.
Yes.
That's not the way things are anymore. I want to tell you about a couple of places, two different places on two different weekends that we went to. Both of them blew my mind, and maybe folks have heard of these. I had not. The first I want to tell you about is called Pop Stroke, which is Tiger Woods's like high-end, cool kids, like almost made for adults, putt-putt, where it's putt-putt in that it's, you know, little just putting into the hole, but it's made to look like a professional golf course, but it's still putt-putt. So there's like fake sand traps, but they're still just, you know, AstroTurf, but they're made to look like sand traps. It's cool. And there's like a bar in the middle of the course, and you can get drinks sent to you on anywhere you are. And there's ice cream stands, and it's super cool. We did this in Phoenix, Arizona. I think it was actually Glendale, Arizona, when I was visiting my mother-in-law. But there's a number of locations all around the world. They're in Florida and number of them in Arizona and Texas. Anyway, cool spot. I was blown away by Pop Stroke. I thought it was super cool. But not even as much as the other place I went, which is called Putt Shack. This is another chain. It has not reached the West Coast. The farthest west Putt Shack goes is Arizona as well. But there is one here in Denver where I went. There's a bunch on the East Coast in Atlanta and Nashville and Philly and Washington and up into, I don't even know. There's a couple in Chicago and Minneapolis. Anyway, Putt Shack. This is genius. It is, it's high tech putt-putt. It's putt mini golf, miniature golf mixed with super high tech video game technology. So yeah,
it looks like a mix between putt-putt and Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. But like even higher end than Dave and Buster's. But you get a ball and it's got a tracking device in it and you know, whatever RF technology it's got. And it is all your strokes are tracked by the technology in the hole. So all the holes are sort of wild and, you know, in that same vein of, you know, loop-de-loops and crazy stuff, but it's all indoors and it's all super high tech. So it can have these video game inspired. It's kind of like what happened when slot machines went to video slot machines, where it's like, oh, we don't have to just do mechanical stuff. We can do all kinds of virtual stuff. And that's what's happening with this miniature golf, where it'll be like you hit the ball and then it'll have like a trivia come up on these video screens and it'll be like a A or B trivia. And depending on which A or B you think the answer is, you hit your ball into a different hole. So you get like bonus points if you hit into the right hole, but it's also tracking your shots. Or there'll be, you know, these wild video things where it'll like be a bonus at a certain time because this thing is spinning around and lighting up. Anyway, I'm doing a terrible job describing it, but it blew me away. It was super fun and we had a great time. And it really completely changed my view of what miniature golf is, which I already thought was fun, but it like took it into the stratosphere and made it way cooler. So Putt Shack and Pop Stroke are two recommendations from me.
Looking at Putt Shack, it's like still a physical golf course. It's not like a virtual course, but then as it goes into a hole, it'll trigger a light or a reaction. So it's not like a virtual green. Like you're still in a physical space interacting with things.
But it also, it knows how many times you've hit the ball. So it'll, it's so how do I win for you. What?
I don't like, how do I win?
You can't cheat. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying. I always kind of nudge it in and dad always wins. Like I want like the old pick and drop. That's what
I need. No, you just, now you just have to like just completely check your kid out of the way. Just slam them out of the way when they're trying to
hit their ball a few more times. Sorry.
Yeah. It's so clever and so fun. All right. We also got a listener suggested parting gift. This comes to us from Andrew. He wrote into dlcfeedback@gmail.com. Andrew writes, hey, I'd like to recommend Mall Night Long. It's an over Zoom game show experience. If you're a fan of game shows, host Chris Michaud, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, puts on a great 2-hour experience for you and a group of friends. You'll be separated into two teams and compete at various times for fabulous prizes and money. There are no prizes and money, but you'll totally feel like you're on stage trying to win. We recently did this to celebrate my wife's birthday and had a blast. If you're looking for a little something a little out of the ordinary to try, I highly recommend the experience. You can learn more at facebook.com/mallnightlong. Or by emailing playmallnightlong@gmail.com. So I checked this out because I wasn't sure what it was. It's literally you organize a Zoom call with this dude who runs a game show for you. It's bespoke, like live. He gets on and runs the game show for you.
Like from, so you are you at home or are you at a mall? Because here's the thing. I love a mall. And so when it was called Mall Night Long, I'm expected to be in a mall, but you're at home.
I believe you're at home. You're just on your computer and you're made to feel like you're in a mall. That's my understanding. And it's you pay this person and they create a game show for you, like just for you and your friends. I thought it was more like a you don't know Jack type of situation, or, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's literally
it's like, more HQ trivia than it is.
No, this is like a dude who gets on just with you. And that's pretty amazing. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. There you go. So facebook.com/mallnightlong. Very funny. If you'd like to have your parting gift read on our show, send it in to dlcfeedback@gmail.com. We love getting those from folks. All right. That's it for this episode of DLC. Thanks again to Gabe Patillo and Christian Spicer for hanging out with me. Thanks to our musical contributors, Patrick L., Sean Madigan, and Zero Star for those fun bumpers. Our theme song was composed by White Cube, which is Jason Sherry and T. Ryan Arnold. Also, you can get swag for the show at dlcswag.com, which was created by Jesse J. Anderson. Our biggest thanks are reserved for our patrons who make this show possible. Thank you, patrons, for supporting us. We are in your debt. We appreciate you very, very much. Our top tier patrons, our Hype Train patrons, get a video game made for them. And Christian and I are going to do that right now. Hey, Christian, it's time to talk about some games that really have been overlooked for too long, I would say. You recall Michael Buck? I know you know about the Big Buck game hunting games, but do you know about the Michael Buck game?
I'm not sure if we've talked about this, Jeff, because it is this weird my Venn diagram of like still practicing as an attorney and then talking about games professionally. So I have to be careful what I say, because there's some stuff I probably still can't really talk about publicly, but I saw some of the litigation paperwork behind Michael Buck and Big Buck Hunter. And Michael Buck really brought the idea of a game with the name Buck in it to the forefront. And
yeah,
it was a nasty lawsuit. Like the attorneys involved, I don't want to say like the big name attorneys that you've seen on TV, but you know, like the big, everybody was involved in this case. I was just doing doc review back on it, but like there had never been another game with Buck in the name.
Yeah.
Before Michael Buck. And then here comes another game with Buck in the name. Oh my gosh. It was spicy, Jeff. I don't want to say too much.
The Buck big game hunter game. It was so derivative because Michael Buck was a small game hunter game where you would just shoot things like frogs, you know, like the odd squirrel.
Well, I remember all about the microscope game level too, where it was like, is this a dust mite? You better zoom in.
You had a scope. I remember looking through in the arcades, you'd look through the scope and you'd zoom in, and then you'd zoom in even farther and farther, and like, oh, on that leaf, what is that? It's a caterpillar. Buck, small game hunter.
I don't want to say how far out the MCU was planned. And again, I don't want to reveal too much from the documents I saw during this litigation, but let's just say I saw an Ant-Man tie-in with Michael Buck, small game hunter.
Oh yeah.
That went into Quantumanium. Like
the smallest of game hunters.
The smallest of game. And so I don't want to say that they had the MCU planned out all the way that far back then, but I saw some printed documents that suggested otherwise.
You know, honestly, I wasn't even really into hunting. Never have been, probably never will be, but I played that game just because the sign on it said, buck for a quarter. Remember? And I thought, wow, that seems like a deal, you know?
And then when you lost, it told you to buck off. I always thought that was cute.
That was a little intense. You know, it's funny. This reminds me of another game with another similar title dispute because you remember Zaxxon, right? Remember Zaxxon? Okay. I loved Zaxxon. I loved that game, Zaxxon. Did you ever
talk about this too much? No, huh? I've heard of it, but I didn't play it. Is it like rotoscoped?
Zaxxon?
Do I have that right? Yeah.
No.
Or is that not
No,
it,
it was
is that Tempest? It was
like isometric spaceship flying, and you'd have to fly over these walls and shoot stuff. But it was like one of the very first isometric games, but not the first, because before Zaxxon.
Oh, I see it. Here it
was. Jaxxon. Remember Jaxxon?
I remember my karate teacher telling me to turn the arcade cabinet for Jaxxon on and Jaxxon off. And it was like this whole, I had to Jaxxon. I had to Jax off. I had to Jaxxon.
Never Jax off in the store, though. That's not, you leave it on. See, what I'm saying is leave it on.
To me, the bigger thing was its sequel, I'm Sorry, Miss Jackson, which was just absolutely incredible because Michael Jackson had Moonwalker.
Yes.
And then everybody.
Yes. There was all only music games.
Well, it's
I thought the sequel was when it was brought into the PS2 era, it was Jaxxon and Daxter on.
I also remember Resident Evil Jackson. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, those are good games, though. Those are real good games. The Jackson game, you know, it was a lot like Moonwalker in that I have no idea how you played it.
Well, I think it was isometric, and you actually just zoomed around and shot annoying podcast hosts making dumb name puns. I think it's how you're a little spaceship, and someone would be like, Jackson, more like Paxson, and then you just pew and you'd shoot them. I think it's isometric.
That does
though,
seem useful. And I do understand that this segment is just devolving into bad puns, but you know what? That's the way it's going to be because that's who we are. And we're grateful. We're grateful for all the folks that have supported us at the hype train level. Thank you. You are awesome. And I hope you're having as much fun doing this as we are. All right. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.